Welcome back to the OU Daily International Tehillim and Chizuk Phone Call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Tuesday, the sixth day of the month of Shvat. Thank you to our incredible and generous sponsors for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU email to sponsor future programs. And we greatly appreciate your support. Please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. Please note the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Great news to share. I'm so excited and thrilled to share with you that there has been much movement, finally, with our previous recordings page, with our archive of past recordings. And please, God, but please don't hold me to it. Tomorrow, we should have everything up through mid-December. I believe the current page is only through mid-October, so that moves us forward with another 2 months. And hopefully, very, very soon, we will be up to date current. And the plan going forward will be to update this page on a weekly basis. I am with you. If you have been frustrated and you have been disappointed, you can imagine, certainly I have been as well, but looking forward, as we always do, being positive and optimistic, we should have everything set, at least for phase one, for the next 2 months, up on the page beginning tomorrow. On behalf of the OU, it is my distinct honor to welcome back to the Daily Call and introduce Rabbi Bram Weinberg of the Kent Mill Synagogue in Silver Spring, Maryland, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Weinberg slowly reciting our three daily chapters of Tehillim, Perek, Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. They're chapters 23, 121, and 130, and it will be followed by the Mishaberach, Lecholim, and Achenu. Last time we had Rabbi Weinberg on was before we began our interview process, so we will conclude, the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Weinberg. Very much looking forward to that, to learning more about his wonderful community in Silver Spring. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker, Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Weinberg.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the honor of asking me to lead today's call and having me back for a second time. When I did my first OU Chizuk call back in June, it was hard to imagine that now, so many months later, the pandemic would still be in full force, sadly. What we and others have endured this year is really awful, but despite all that, it's wonderful that this program has continued, and it's a real pleasure to be on the call with all of you this afternoon. Thank you so much, Naftali, for all of your work, and to the OU for all that it is doing at this crazy time, to continue to keep us safe and connected and spiritually nourished. This week, we'll read about the last three of the 10 plagues. Plague number 9 that we'll read about is Makas Choshech, the plague of darkness. Darkness can certainly be challenging and unsettling in many ways. I remember some pretty bad power outages and storms that left us feeling very vulnerable. We had sunlight in the day and flashlights at night and all sorts of devices that gave us a little bit of light, but I can imagine that living in complete darkness day and night would be really tough. Tough, but seemingly, for the most part, not catastrophic, which makes me wonder how the plague of darkness is plague number 9. Plagues seem to increase in intensity all the way to the crescendo of Makas Bechoros, the plague of the firstborn, at the very end. So plague number 9 should rank pretty high in terms of severity. In fact, we see the Paro capitulate after it, which means that its effects were quite severe. But I can't quite figure out why. What was so bad about the plague of darkness? The key to answering our question is one detail that the Torah gives about the effect that the plague had on people. The pasuk says, "Lo ra'u ish es achiv, v'lo kamu ish mitachtav shloshes yamim." For 3 days, people didn't see each other, and people couldn't even rise up from where they were. They couldn't even stand up. On a very practical level, the Ramban, Nachmanides, in the 13th century, understands this pasuk literally. People literally couldn't see each other and couldn't move because the darkness of this plague was not just darkness that is the absence of light, like the darkness that we experience at night, but it was a thick black cloud that enveloped them, so thick that it pushed them down. They couldn't even stand up. They couldn't move. while I cannot imagine how, you know, ordinary darkness could rank as plague number 9, I could imagine that being immobilized for 3 days or 6 days would indeed be quite torturous. If it is what the Ramban describes, like this thick black cloud that enveloped them, they couldn't see, they couldn't move, perhaps couldn't breathe, they just didn't even know where they were, that's really bad. Imagine having stuff all around you in your house and not being able to reach for it because you couldn't see where it was or you couldn't get up from your chair to get it. That's absolute torture. You know that help is right there. You know the food is right in the refrigerator. You know your bottle of water is right there at the end of the table and you're desperate for a drink and you just can't get it because you can't move. That was what was so bad about the plague of darkness. But Rav Yitzchak Meir Alter, the first Ger Rebbe in the 1800s in Poland, in his Sefer, his book, Chidushei HaRim, goes one step further in highlighting why darkness was so bad, not from a literal perspective, but from a human one. Going back to the verse which says that during darkness, lo ra'u isha sachis, one person couldn't see the other, he says that not only could they not see each other physically, but what made the plague so torturous is that in the figurative sense, they couldn't see each other either. He said, hachoshech hayoser gadol, Ukshain ish roa esach reehu, the eno mishtates bitzar hazulas. The worst kind of darkness, he says, is when one person doesn't see their friend, doesn't see their neighbor, and doesn't participate in the distress of the other. And because of that, he says, totka social davar, the result was in Egypt, kashain margishin bitzaro shel chavero, Haregesh hanase kehal mishutak lo kamu ish mitachtav ein lo tkuma. When you don't recognize the distress and the pain of another person, and that person is left all alone, ein lo tkuma. They just can't get up. They literally can't move. The Ger Rebbe teaches us that the inability to see what was bad, the inability to see the pain of another people is what another person is what truly made this plague unbearable. During the past 10 months, in some ways, we've been more alone than ever. We've been socially distant and not traveled and not had Shabbos meals and not had most people in shul, and we've had times of quarantine and isolation. But in other ways, we've seen that we are never truly alone. We're never alone because we have Hashem by our side. But in addition to that, we're never alone because our shuls, our communities, our national organizations like the OU have banded together to virtually enter each of our homes and lives and figuratively stretch out a hand in the toughest of days and say, we're all in this together. You're never alone. And in that way, we have the amazing blessing, even during COVID, of never being truly in darkness. My only hope is that we'll all continue to gain chizuk, strength from each other and raise each other up. I can only hope that Hashem will see that and be proud. I can only hope that Hashem will see that and in turn bring much needed light and warmth and healing into our world. We'll now recite Tehillim Perek Chaf Gimel, Psalm number 23. Mizmor leDavid, Adonai roi lo echsar, bino deshe yarbitzeini, Al mei menucho genahaleini, nafshi yeshovev, yancheini b'magle tzedek, leman shemo, kam ki eilech b'geit tal mavet, lo irara ki ata imadi, shiftecha u'mishantecha, heima, Yinachamuni, Taroch lefanai shulchan, Neged tzorerai, Dishan tavashaben roshi, Kosi levaya, Ach tov vachesed, Yerdifuni kol yemei chayai, Veshavti beveit Adonai, Leorech yamim. Now recite Tehillim Perek Kuf Chaf Aleph Psalm number 121. Shir lamalot esayinayim heharim me'ayin yavo ezri meim Adonai. Shomer Israel, Adonai Shomrecha, Adonai Tzilcha, Al Yad Yeminecha, Yomam HaShemesh Lo Yakeka, Ve'yareach Balayla, Adonai Yishmorcha Mikora, Yishmor Et Nafshecha, Adonai Yishmor Tzidcha Vohecha, Me'ata Ve'ad Olam. Now recite our final parak of Tehillim, parak Kuf Lamed, Psalm number 130. Shir Hamalot Mimamakim Kiraticha Adonai Adonai Shima Bekoli Tiena Aznecha Kashivot Bekol Tachanunai Imavonot Tishmarya Adonai Yamod Kimcha Hasricha Leman Tivarei Kiviti Adonai Kivta Nafshi Selim Dvaro Hochalti Nafshi Ladunai Mishomrim Laboker Shomrim Laboker Yachel Yisrael Adonai Ki Adonai HaChesed V'Harbeh Imav V'Dut V'Hu Yifted Yisrael Mikol Avonotav. I'll now say the prayer for those who are ill, and I'll pause in the middle so that you can insert any names that you wish. Mi Sheberach Avotenu Abraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov Moshe V'Aaron David U'Shlomo Uyivarech, Yirape, Etacholim, Etacholot. Bavur, Shanachnu, Mitpalavim, Bavuram. Yitzchardeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yimaleh Rachamim Aleihem Lach Limam Ulrabotam Ulach Azikam Ulach Hayotam Mishlach Lahem Emeira Refuah Shlima Min HaShemayim Lechol Evarehem Lechol Gideihem B'toch Shar Cholei Yisrael Refuat HaNefesh Refuat HaGuf Refuah Krova Lavo Ashtab al-Galar Yisman Karim, Menomar Amen. Achenu Kobeit Yisrael, Hanetunim Batsarau Vishivya, Haomdim Bein Bayam Uvein Bayabasha, Hamakom Yerachem Aleyem, Yotiyen Yitzarav Yervacham, Yafila Leora, Umishivud Legula, Ashtab al-Galar Yisman Karim, Menomar Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rabbi Weinberg, as we transition into the next segment of our call. First and foremost, how are you, your family and community doing?
Thank you so much. Baruch Hashem, we're doing very well. It's been a hard year in so many ways, as it has been for everyone. I think the hardest part of the year is, you know, all of the unknowns in terms of health and community and family and school. Every day brings so many new questions, both personally and communally. It's like a little bit of a roller coaster, but I think, Baruch Hashem, we're riding the ups and the downs and managing pretty well overall.
You know, we're certainly happy to hear that, and it should continue to be a positive and hopefully amazing experience going forward. So there's a lot of optimism and hope as we look towards the future. So, Rabbi Weinberg, to get us started, for our listeners who might not be familiar with your community, can you share with us, give us a brief overview of the shul and the community in general?
Sure. I guess starting with the shul, we have a fantastic shul of over 400 families. It started over 30 years ago and started in the house with just a couple of families, and that grew to over 400 families today. People are very active in shul life and very passionate about issues and very passionate about their shul and the culture of their shul in a positive way. People really invest themselves in it, and feels like an extension of their home in many ways. People in our shul are very down to earth. It's a real down to earth crowd. People with great values, and people, you know, really who want the best for themselves and for their kids. And if there's any competitiveness, you know, in our community, it's about doing more chesed and impacting the world more professionally, just in terms of scholarship and learning and all these very strengthening things, really very, very respectful of each other. Our shul, just beyond the shul, is one of many in the area. There's a bunch of suburbs right around Washington, D.C., so we're in one of them called Kent Mill, which is part of Silver Spring. And the whole area here, the whole greater Washington community, really has a very long and rich history Jewishly. It's always been a strong community. It's always been a small community, but a strong one. It's a community that I think till today is big enough to have a lot of the infrastructure. We have a bunch of schools. We have many, many shuls, and, you know, we have restaurants, and we have eruvs and mikvahs, and, you know, all the regular stuff that strong Jewish communities have. We have yeshiva. We have, as I said, numerous day schools. We have all the infrastructure of a big community, but what I think is special about Silver Spring is that it still has a small-ish kind of feel to it, which is very nice.
Amazing. It truly sounds like an incredible place. So what drove you? What motivated you to go into the rabbinate, more specifically, to become the Rav of a shul?
It's a good question. It's something I think about myself, you know, thinking back to my earlier days and my journey here. I think it really all started with a passion that I had, that I knew I had for helping people, combined with a passion for Torah, for my own learning, but also for teaching, and the enjoyment that I had in teaching, and specifically in teaching adults, and being able to take, you know, Torah concepts that were important to me and, you know, frame them in a way that made them relevant to people and inspiring to people. And so between that and kind of the helping aspect, it felt like a good fit. And I think I've always enjoyed working with people, and that's so much about what the rabbinate is about. Beyond the teaching and the role modeling, it's really working together with people, working to build something, you know, communally and personally, working on growth. And that personal connection to people is something that I've always thrived on. And it's been very hard during the COVID time, you know, missing a lot of that, but something that I've always enjoyed in the rabbinate, and what pushed me to go into the pulpit rabbinate in specific.
Amazing. And your congregants, the shul members and the community are certainly the beneficiaries of that. Last question for you today. Last question for you today.
Some days, I don't know, they might disagree. Depends how hard you push to grow.
We should create an OU hotline for the rabbi. We should call it the rabbi's couch, so he can open up and share and vent.
Yes.
And then simultaneously, we should have one for Baal Bat and the hotline, just a voicemail, just to vent about the rabbi. The last question for you, you know, the world has changed so much because of the pandemic. You spoke about it in your remarks, but just a little bit beforehand. What communal changes do you anticipate for your community, for your shul, and perhaps even for the broader Jewish community?
Difficult to say. I mean, I think one of the challenges that I'm seeing is that everyone pretty much understands that life will not just, you know, immediately go back to normal. And so you have this, like, rich history of the shul, you know, certainly in our case, a shul which was very deliberate in terms of the way it was built and the way it was run, and with very specific parameters to it. And, you know, people for the most part really liked that, and, it, you know, things that needed tweaking, you know, continue to tweak, but people overall like that. And now you have this big blip in the middle where people not only are physically not coming to shul, but are engaging with shul in such vastly different ways than they ever have, and are feeling all kinds of different feelings for the shul that are very extreme. Some people are feeling more connected than ever because the shul really got them through this time. Other people are feeling so disconnected because out of sight, out of mind, you know, they feel like if they're not around people and they're not in the physical building, that it's not part of them anymore. So people are feeling such radically different things. And I think on both ends of the spectrum and in the middle, people recognize that they're not just going to come back and Schultz is going to be exactly the same. But the challenge is that I don't think anybody can envision what exactly it'll look like. So we can hope, we can dream, we can plan, but because there's still so many unknowns, I think the question of like how people will come back, when they'll come back, what Mignanim will look like, what people's interest will be in Shiurim and Mignanim when they've done a lot in Kiddushes, you know, have done a lot of these things on their own for the past year, you know, what will be their interest when they come back to Shul and how will they envision us kind of filling those roles as a shul again? And I think because it's so hard to envision, that's probably one of the biggest challenges that we face now is how to prepare for it without really knowing what that it is.
Yeah, and you're certainly not alone. And internally in the OU, we've been having this conversation for a while, and I think one that we're on the verge of now discussing with synagogue and community leaders to try and work through this together. But me being the optimist, as I know you are, is I'm hoping there's just going to be such a hunger to kind of go back to whatever this new normal might look like, and that people will move on from the backyard minyanim and recognize shuls for what shuls can and should be, and hopefully the OU is able to play some part in that as well. Rabbi Weinberg, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a picture of your wonderful community as they are with all of Klal Yisrael and the entire world. Our thoughts and our tefillos, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, growth, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and a refuah for all of those in need will be answered with tova for good. And may the Rabbonu Shel Olam, the master of the world, please speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Wednesday, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, as we will hear words of inspiration from Rabbi Yitzchak Feldman of Congregation Emek Bracha in Palo Alto, California. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.